Hey everyone, Sam Evans here, and in today's video I'm going to show you how to sleep to win. That's right, I'm going to show you how you can actually win in life and in business, make more money, perform at a higher level, be smarter, learn more, or perform better physically, or basically do better in anything you want by sleeping more and sleeping better. So today I'm in my bedroom here in California, and I'm going to give you a little tour and explain some of the hardware that I use to get a better sleep and how I objectively measure these experiments that I run. So what I'm going to be sharing with you today isn't just like my opinion or some wispy thing like some gypsy told me. Like, I like to measure things. I like to be as scientific as possible about things. I also like to keep an open mind and test the things that some people think are fiction, and also test a lot of the things that people think are fact, and really just see for myself what the data says. And I found some really interesting things. And so this video is going to cover part one. So there's going to be two of these videos, and maybe there's actually going to be more, but at least right now I know there's going to be two of them. Now part one is this one, and this one's going to cover the hardware. So sleep to win, part one, hardware. So let's get started. So when it comes to sleep, you're probably thinking, like, why the hell would I want to sleep more? Like, isn't sleeping for losers? Or I thought people who were successful didn't really sleep at all. And if you're going to be successful, why would you sleep more? Doesn't that mean you're lazy? And isn't sleep just sleep? Like, why do you need any fancy gadgets or anything like that? And that's actually, you know, a really good point. And that's what I used to think too. Like, I used to think that sleep was for weak people or lazy people, and really successful people basically didn't sleep. They had like 3 or 4 hours. And so that was kind of my philosophy. I gave it a try and it went horribly wrong. As soon as I started to have less sleep, I started to be basically depressed, like delusional, and make a lot of errors. And just general all round, just not performing very well, right? Now, the most dangerous thing about a lack of sleep is that the more you need sleep, the less you believe you need sleep. So there's a vicious circle there. And so basically what happens is the more sleep deprived you get, the less sleep you believe you need, but in reality, the more sleep you actually need. So a lot of people I've observed really get stuck in this vicious loop. And I've helped a lot of people like perform better in business, make more money. And what's amazing is even at my quantum mastermind level, like my highest level program, where most of the people are making 7 figures, some are making 8, still the number one thing we talk about a lot is like routine and sleep. And it's quite funny that that is often one of the things that we work on that helps them make the most like progress and get the most results. Because you as a human, you're like a biological system basically. And your performance directly impacts the results you get, right? You don't perform very well, you don't get very good results. You perform very well, you get very good results. So how does one like perform better or perform well? Well, you just tweak its inputs. And really, like, if you think about you as a human, you've got like water, you've got different types of food, and then you've got like sleep basically. And then you've got some other things like exercise and stuff like that. But I've actually tried experimenting with lots of different things. And I can tell you that sleep is more important than exercise, and sleep is more important than diet. So like a lot of people focus on like eating real well or supplements or things, or they focus on exercise. But when it comes to sleep, they just neglect that. I can tell you it's the most powerful one to play with out of everything. And I can tell you that if you sleep properly and improve your sleep, you will be smarter, you'll perform better, you'll get better results. And to focus on your sleep and to improve it, there's more room for improvement and results there than there is in the tactical, logical, business type things, right? Like learning a new tactic, learning a new strategy. Focusing on sleep allows you to be smarter and come up with your own strategies. So it's a higher level thing to work on that affects everything beneath it. So that's enough of me explaining why sleep's important. Now let's get into, you know, the hardware and some of the things that I use to really get a better sleep. So the first thing you need, and this is absolutely crucial, is you need some kind of objective measuring stick, right? Because when it comes to sleep, it's all opinion based. You know, I'll tell someone, hey, you should do this, it'll improve your sleep, and they're like, meh, I get good sleep. And everyone's like, oh, I get good sleep, I get enough sleep. And that's just all opinion. And you need something that isn't your opinion to actually measure things with. We need to make it scientific and objective, and we need to come up with a unit of measurement, and we need some kind of instrument that can perform this analysis and create outputs of data without it being subjective to us and our self-referencing ourselves, which is just a recipe for disaster. So the product that I recommend for that, I've got on my finger right now, it's called an Oura Ring. Oura Ring. It's pretty small, it just looks like a normal ring. Previous versions were really chunky, but this new one, they've really got it down in size. And I'll just take it off my finger here. It's a bit tight. Probably should have thought of that before I started filming this. But that's what it looks like inside. You can kind of see it's got some little electric things in there. And this thing, you put it on your finger and you wear it just like this. And then it syncs to your iPhone or your Android or whatever you've got. And it gives you, like, each morning when you wake up, you can sync it and it will tell you how your sleep went. And it will tell you things like how long you slept for, not just when you went to bed and when you got out of bed, but how many hours you were actually asleep for. Because a lot of people think how long they sleep is when they get into bed and when they get out. But that's not sleep, that's just bedtime, right? And so it tells you that, but also you wake up in the middle of the night sometimes. And then there's varying different levels of sleep quality. Like you could be a light sleeper and be tossing and turning all night, or you could go into REM, or you could go into deep. And then there's your resting heart rate, and then there's your body temperature, and there's all of these different things that come into play when it comes to your sleep. Now, I've been measuring my sleep for 2 or more years every day, and I've been objectively recording it all in like Excel. And I've been tweaking the different variables like diet, exercise, nutrition, the time I eat my meals, and different hacks that I've found have really improved my sleep. So in today's video, I'm going to share with you some of the best ones I've found. I've tested a lot of stuff. A lot of them have turned out to be just a gimmick, but the things I'll share with you today have been very, very helpful. So first one is Oura Ring, and I'll put a link to these ones beneath the video. You need to start with this because you need to get a baseline. You need to measure what your sleep's like right now before you start making changes, right? So you want to get like 7 days of sleep and then see what your baseline sleep level is. Now, once you have that baseline, it's time to start like tweaking some of the different things that you do and seeing if it improves above your baseline or regresses below your baseline. And you basically want to go through an iterative cycle of doing more of what works, less of what doesn't, and constantly seeking like perfection. And if you want to know like what is a good sleep, what's a bad sleep, where do we draw the line there? Well, your Oura Ring will give you something called a readiness score. And it's basically an algorithm which consists of some other metrics. So like time asleep, previous night's sleep, resting heart rate, REM, deep. And it looks at these things and it takes this bundle of different metrics and it gives you an overall singular metric out of 100. So I've found that if you're above 80, you're good. If you're below 80, you're not good. If you're below like 60, something's seriously wrong, and that's like emergency scenario. And if you're in the 90s, you're amazing and out of this world, right? Now, I think my average is close to 90. It's like 88, 89, right? And in today's video, I'm going to show you some of the things I've used to achieve that. Now, first and foremost, one of the biggest things that I've noticed affects my sleep is the room temperature. Like, if you're hot when you're asleep or when you're trying to go to sleep, like it's excruciating. You can't really sleep properly. So room temperature, I've found, is extremely important. It's probably one of the biggest ingredients to a good sleep for me. So in this room here, I have an air conditioner, and I set that thing to like 64 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's pretty cold. And my wife, Ashley, she actually wears like a a jumper and like track pants and things because it's so cold for her. But I find that the colder the room temperature is, the lower my resting heart rate, and the deeper my sleep, the better my readiness score. So room temperature is extremely important. And if you have a partner that gets a bit too cold, well, they can wear like extra layers, right? That's the good thing about being too cold. But when you're too hot, there's not much you can do. So I like to keep it really cold. The other thing is like the darkness of the room, right? If there's light coming in, especially like artificial light, it's going to be very hard to go to sleep. So here at my place in California, we have these curtains that are like blackout curtains. So I pull those things across and it pretty much blacks out the whole room. And then beyond the room darkness, you want to get it real dark, should be pretty much pitch black, then you should get it real cold, right? And then you also want it to be real quiet. So cold, dark, quiet. Now, to make this room real quiet, we've got these doors here, like a dual door system thing. So you close this one, and that locks, and then you can close the second one, and then it locks. So that's pretty intense. You don't really need something like that, but I mean, if you want to go all out, like making sure you've got some doors that block out a lot of the noise. So, me personally, I hate road noise and I hate hearing cars drive by and things like that. I want it to be really silent. So, making sure that you really soundproof your room can be a really good thing to do. Another thing you can do is like on the roof, you can put like sound deadening panels. So the acoustics of the room also makes a big difference. You know, if you're sleeping in a room that has very hard surfaces, like, I don't know, a concrete floor or a tiled floor, and then the walls are plaster and there's quite a lot of glass around and there's an absence of like fabrics and materials, then the acoustics are going to be pretty intense and it's like the sound's going to bounce around, and that kind of freaks your nervous system out and it makes it hard to sleep again. You want to really pay attention to these things. Like, you want to make sure the acoustics are soft and sound deadened. There's no like road noise or noise coming in from outside. You also want to feel like safe and secure because otherwise you're going to have this anxiety or your subconscious is going to be working while you're asleep, trying to like protect you. So having a lock on your door is often like a good idea as well. It just, you might not even think that you're worrying about it, but you might be. Like, you probably are, because your subconscious really doesn't let that one go. What else have we got? Now, I know everyone can't afford to, like, just put a big aircon unit in their room. If you can, do it. Like, nothing's better than just blasting the room and making it really cold. And then you can sleep, even in the middle of the summer in California, you can sleep with a heavy duvet all over you, which feels really nice, like it's in the winter. In the middle of summer and still be like perfectly comfortable, right? That's the best. And that air conditioner will do it, just like a heat pump or air conditioner, whatever you call that thing. It just blasts the whole room and cools it down really fast. But if you rent your place and you don't want to invest in something like that, or you just don't have enough money to get something like that, then what you can do is get something like that. Not that cat, but that. So what is this? Well, this thing is called a bed jet V2, and basically what it does is this piece here goes under, like it goes in between your top sheet and your bottom sheet, and this is in your bed, by the way, and then this thing sits underneath your bed. And it blows cold air, like it's an air conditioner, but not for the whole room because that needs to be intense like that thing. It's just an air conditioner for your bed. So it's real small, it's portable, you just plug it in, it has a remote, and it does an amazing job, honestly. When I was in New York, our apartment had a really good air conditioning system, but in our bedroom it wasn't that good, and our apartment was full glass, so like it got really baked during when the sun was out. And so we still used this in New York. Even though we had air conditioning, we still used this. So if you've got air conditioning, but you still get a bit too overheated in your bed, invest in one of these. I'll put the link to it beneath this video. These are like $300 or $400, I think. It's a lot cheaper than buying an air conditioning system. It's also portable, so if you rent, you can take it with you or whatever. These things are honestly amazing. I tried another one called like a chili pad or something, and it's a water cooled system. It was awful. Like, it was too complicated. It always needed maintenance, and it was a nightmare. It stressed me out. Its benefits did not outweigh its negatives. So then I got something much cheaper and much more simple, this BedJet V2, and it's awesome. But the ultimate is that. So I no longer use this. Now, what else have we got? So then we come to like just the general bedroom, right? So we've got it dark, we've got it cold, we've got it quiet, we've got like good acoustics in here. We've got your Aura Ring on, so you can objectively measure your sleep. Now what you want to start doing is like optimizing the general environment. So you can see in this bedroom, it's pretty damn simple. Like, that's about it. There's no work stuff in here. There's no like desk in here. There's no screens. So there's no TVs or computers or anything like that, or any electrical gear, just nothing. It's like pretty much plain, because this room is for sleeping. So you want your room to be simple, because when there's a lot of complexity and stuff all over the place, it's harder for your mind to relax. And so you want to really strip your bedroom and make it very simple, and have the room's purpose to be really just to sleep. Because if you start doing work in your room and watching TV in your room and doing all of these different things in your room, then your mind is still going to be active then, because that room, when you walk into it, your mind is like, it's triggered to think about different things. And different objects in your room, like if you keep bills or different like letters from different companies or a computer, or you've got all of this clutter everywhere, it triggers your mind, and you'll find it a lot harder to go to sleep. So just making it simple and plain, and strip all the TVs out. There is no good reason to have a TV in your room. It's terrible. Get all of that crap out. Computers, everything out. And then another trick is to not charge your laptop or your phone next to your bed, right? That's stupid. You don't even want to keep your laptop or your phone next to your bed. What I do, and this is a very simple thing to do, is you just have your chargers at the other end of the room. So this is where I charge everything. That's where I sleep. So by doing this, I turn my phone on airplane mode when I come in here, and I plug it in over there, and then it's not next to me when I'm going to sleep, so I don't have any thoughts of grabbing it and checking it or anything like that. It doesn't buzz or vibrate. It's out of sight, out of mind. I set my alarm on there, so my alarm still goes off, my phone's still in my room charging, but it doesn't distract me at all over here. It's also better for waking up in the morning, because when my alarm clock goes off, it's over here. I'm over here, so I have to get out of bed and walk over to turn it off. I can't just push snooze. So it actually helps me get going in the morning as well. So that's actually a very simple hack that anyone can do. You don't even have to spend any money. Just putting things in different locations makes a huge difference. Now, what else have we got? I'll come over here. So another thing that can help a lot, sorry, I just had to let that cat out of this room. So another thing is the light. So when you want to go to sleep, you want to basically make the brightness go down, but you also want to control the like warmth of the light. So you want to have less light, but also warmer light instead of like brighter light. And what I mean by that is, you know, that's like true daylight out there, right? It's like 5,500 Kelvin, roughly. And that's, its wavelength is very different than, say, a tungsten bulb like that, right? And some people have created these like fluorescent lights and LED lights and things like this. And they're 5,500 Kelvin, and that is trying to imitate true daylight. So they're like bright white lights. It makes you feel like you're in a mental asylum, and it basically throws your nervous system into chaos. That's terrible. Whatever you do, don't put any of those lights anywhere in your house, or any, especially in your bloody bedroom, because if your body senses like 5500K warmth, then it thinks it's still the middle of the damn day, right? So you're not going to be able to go to sleep because your body is getting the signal from the light that it's still daylight. So you don't do that. You make sure that you dim the lights, and then I would use actual tungsten bulbs, the old school ones. Tungsten is like, it's got a filament in there, and it produces a much more warm color, right? I would use those, and I would use dim ones. Don't use the LEDs and the fluorescents and all of that crap. You want to make it quite dark and just warm kind of ambience. What's even better than a tungsten bulb would be like a candle or a fire. So there's a fireplace there, and often I light a candle over there, because that is much warmer light, and it's also calming, and it helps you relax and go to sleep, right? So that's another hack. Also, if you're using your phone or your laptop at all, like after the hours of like 7 o'clock, you should turn night shift on your Mac. It's under the display settings. Turn night shift on, and that will make your screen go more yellow after about 7 p.m. And the same with your phone. Because you want to start adapt, you want your body to start knowing that the sun's going down outside and that it's time to start kind of producing melatonin to start going to sleep. And that will start to tell your body to do that. However, if you're still under 5500K at 9, 10 p.m., you're basically still going to be producing like cortisol, and you're still going to be thinking it's like the middle of the day. And then you're going to get into bed, turn the lights off, and wonder why it takes you 3 hours to go to sleep. Right? You've just got to think about these things and start tracking them, measuring them, and optimizing them. Because sleep is a big thing, and once you get it right, you'll be amazed at like the difference it makes to your life, your thinking, your decision making, and your results and performance. What else have we got? So the comfort of your bed is also pretty important. You want to have like a nice comfy bed. Now, comfy means different things to different people. What we have is we've got one of those purple mattresses, and I saw it on the internet, and I thought at first it might have just been some fancy marketing, but I looked into it, and it was actually quite interesting, the sort of studies that they'd done. And then I thought, well, I'll try it out, and I gave it a try, and I'm actually pretty impressed. So the company's called purple.com, P-U-R-P-L-E.com, and I got one of those mattresses, king size. It's pretty damn good. Now, in terms of like sheets and pillows and all of that stuff, you don't want to use like synthetic crap, because it basically feels like those, like probably those satin boxer shorts that you wore when you were a kid that would stick to you and give you electric shocks and shit like that, and they were awful. Like, that's what some people's sheets and linen feels like, and that's terrible. That's going to give you an awful sleep. So you want, we use linen. Like, we find that the linen stuff is the most comfortable for us. And it's also cool, but still kind of thick. And that's what works best for us. The worst is the synthetic crap or satin or things like that. And so invest in like some good linen. And then when it comes to pillows, you want to use like feather down ones, not synthetic crap. The feather down ones are a lot better. And you also want to get like the height right. So I just like sleeping with one pillow. If I prop my neck up with more, it's harder for me to get to sleep. I have a worse sleep. What else have we got? Then there's some other kind of like hacks you can do if you want to go like to another level with this. The things I've shared so far, they're more simple things. But then, you know, there's different levels you can go to. So another thing that we use is this fancy contraption here, which is like a biomat, and it comes under here. You can see this, right? And it's controlled by this. So what the hell is that? Well, a biomat is basically like a thing that sits on top of your mattress, and it is filled with like amethyst crystals, and it also like puts a light electric current through them to create like warmth or heat. And what it does is it kind of acts like an electric blanket in a way, so it kind of warms the bed up, but it also produces like infrared light. And you've probably heard of like infrared saunas and some of the health benefits and things that they have. It's pretty much similar to that. It's like when you go to bed at night, you can warm your bed up, which makes you go to sleep easier, because you know, when your bed is warm and when the outside room temperature is cold, which I can achieve with that air conditioner, and then a warm bed, even in the middle of summer in California, right? I can control this environment. So cold in here, warm in here, and then with like nice duvets and linen on top of me, it feels like perfect, and it's perfect for like getting a good night's sleep. So not only is it like being warm and toasty, but also it's like having an infrared sauna every night. So you're getting, you know, two benefits there, and it helped me get a lot better sleep, including, you know, my wife too. She wears an Aura ring as well, and you know, we've tried this and we're pretty happy with it. They're very expensive, and I almost wouldn't recommend getting one until you've done everything else, right? So most people, they're going to make most of their jumps in like sleep performance before touching something like this. So Aura ring, nice and cold and silent and dark, and lay out your room in a simple way. Get your screens and everything away. Make sure that the light you're receiving after the hours of 7 is warmer on the side of like 3,000 Kelvin instead of up around like the 5,000 Kelvin. Ideally tungsten or flame, right? And I also know that for me, I need like 2 hours after I finish working to when I can go to sleep. So I tend to stop work at about 9, and then I come in to, I have a shower. So having a shower before bed, it actually helps you sleep better because you're cleaner and you just feel better like when you're in bed, when you're clean. It's something called sleep hygiene. You can research it a bit, but I have a shower, then I get into bed, and it takes me like 2 hours to wind down before I can fall asleep. So if I stop work at 9, then I'm not going to be asleep till 11. And during those 2 hours, I typically will read or just talk to my wife, or I will watch like a documentary or something on my laptop. And if we're watching it on the laptop, we have the night shift on, so the screen's very yellow, so we're not getting like the white light. And that's basically what I do for 2 hours. Then I go to sleep, and I sleep for roughly 8 hours every night. The minimum I can really get by on is 7, but 8 is ideal for me. And 8, I think, is probably ideal for most people, and they're probably getting 5 or less. So it'll change your life when you get more. Another thing that helps me a lot, not sure if it helps you, you'll have to try it, is a weighted blanket. So the duvet inside of this, the one that I use, is weighted. And you're probably thinking, what the hell is that? Well, most duvets, they've got some weight to them because, you know, they've got feather down or whatever fillers in them. And the thicker the duvet, that generally the heavier it is, or the more quality it is, the heavier it is. And if you've found that you sleep better when you've got like a heavy blanket on you, and you sleep terrible when you've got like a sheet only on you, then you're probably someone that's really going to benefit a lot from a weighted blanket, right? Some people love them and swear by them, and others don't. It's different for different people, right? And so you probably know already whether you like to have a lot of weight on you or not so much. If you like a lot, then you'll probably love a weighted blanket. So the one I have here, I'll put a link to it beneath this video. It's 40 kg, which is quite heavy, right? It's on the heavier side of weighted blankets. So it's a king-sized 40 kilograms. Now, in pounds, I don't know what that is. Just Google it, 40 kg to LBS, and it will tell you. And I'll put a link to the one I've got beneath this video as well. It's probably on the heavier side, so I'm not sure if you'll like it or not. But you can get varying different weights. But basically, there's been like studies done on this as well, and I've personally done a study on myself using objective data over time, and it helped me. But basically, having weight on you, it like soothes the parasympathetic nervous system, and it really calms you down quite a lot. It basically relaxes your nervous system, right? It's similar to like getting a hug from someone. That like soothes you and helps you relax. So that made a massive difference for me. The weighted blanket, like the biomat, the cold air temperature, Oura Ring, nice simple room, nice and dark inside, warmer light before going to sleep, 2 hours leading up to sleep, and phone on airplane mode and over here, no screens, and nice like sound deadened acoustics, and also having a lock and some kind of security so you're not at all worried or anxious about that in the middle of the night. That really helped me get a shitload of like benefit out of my sleep. The difference between what it used to be and now is like night and day, and the difference that that's made on my actual thinking and performance and decision making is ridiculous. So I highly recommend it. And is there anything else I'm forgetting? I'm just thinking, because this video is just done on the fly. I don't have any notes. So yeah, there's a couple more things, and they're not so much hardware related. They're more related to like meal time and things like that. So your body has like a circadian rhythm that it gets used to, right? It's basically a pattern that with time, your body like pattern recognizes when you wake up and when you go to sleep, right? And once it notices this pattern, it will start to optimize for that. So around the time you wake up, it'll produce like cortisol, and it will try to tell you to like get up and get going. And around the time when you go to sleep, it'll produce like melatonin, and it will like, it'll try to get you to calm down and go to sleep, right? So one of the best things you can do is go to sleep at the same time and wake up at the same time and stick to it. And it might not make much of a difference initially, but it will make a huge difference over a bit of time once your body starts to adapt. So I wake up at like 6:30 every morning, and I go to bed at like 10 to 11 every night, right? And I stick to that, and it helps a lot. That makes a huge difference. Also, no meals, no eating anything after about 7 p.m. So if you eat later at night, then your body is going to be trying to digest that food more than it is going to be trying to repair tissue in your body and reconcile different like pieces of information you're storing in your mind, right? So deep tissue repair is like deep sleep, and reconciling your mind and dealing with the psychological and like information-based stuff, that's REM. So if you're not getting much REM, it's really affecting your thinking and your memory and all of that. And if you're not getting enough deep, it's really affecting your like physical tissue repair, right? And so what I noticed is when I had meals later, or I had snacks or whatever later, I got nowhere near as much REM and really no deep. I was just staying in light sleep. And my heart rate was jacked right up, probably an increase of 10 beats per minute or 10 to 12 even. And it just totally destroyed my sleep. And I woke up in the morning feeling like I didn't really get any sleep. And I realized what was going on is my body was just committing everything it had to all the blood and all of the energy was just going to my stomach to process the food, right? So you want your body to be done processing the food by the time you go to sleep so that it can focus on other things like memory and reconciling information in your mind and tissue repair. So don't eat after 7. Also, don't touch any alcohol. Like, I'm amazed that like you'll think totally different about alcohol after you have an Oura Ring. Like, when I first used it, I had one beer or one glass of wine, and I realized it just threw my sleep totally off. One beer or one glass of wine will spike your heart rate by about 10 beats per minute, and it will destroy your entire sleep. Just one. So, like, it's not just a getting drunk kind of thing. It's like, no, it'll just fuck your entire sleep. And then it makes you dumber and makes you not as... It's a huge disadvantage to even have just one drink. So, not having alcohol, not eating after seven, and getting into a consistent pattern of waking up at the same time, going to bed at the same time, these things make a huge, huge difference, along with the hardware that I've mentioned throughout this video today. So that's the end of this one. It's called Sleep to Win, part one, which is hardware and some different like routines and things like that. Now, the second one I'm gonna release will be probably like tomorrow. And it's going to be on like the software. So how to actually take the data from this, how to store it in like a Google Sheet or Excel file, and how to actually like apply scientific method to form hypotheses and run actual controlled experiments over like time so that we get proper like statistical significance from our like experiments, and actually iterate constantly over time using the hardware and the software and analyzing it so that you can actually objectively improve your own sleep. So you can take these things I've given you here today as some tips and tricks, but with this Oura Ring, you'll be able to measure for yourself and see what works for you, because different people are different. There's some things that are constant between most humans, but different people like some different things. And armed with the video I'm going to give you next, part two, the software, you'll also know how to analyze everything, read the data, and really know what the data means. Because it's one thing to have a bunch of numbers, it's another thing to let the data speak to you and understand what it's trying to say, and then make some changes and actually iterate and improve over time. So that's going to be the second one. It'll be coming out probably sometime tomorrow. Now, if you like this video, click like. And also, let me know what you thought in the comments. If you've got any questions about anything, or if you thought this video was good, or you thought it sucked, just let me know. I'll be reading through all the comments myself. And yeah, let me know if you're looking forward to part two, the software. Or if you think I missed something out, or there's more you want to know about sleep and stuff like this, tell me in the comments as well, because who knows, maybe there's going to be a part three. I'll let you decide that. So let me know in the comments. Also click that subscribe button there, or whatever it is, so that you get notified when I release the second one, right? So like, comment, subscribe, and look forward to seeing you in the next one soon. Thanks.